And the reason it's called a chocolate box is because when you get a box of chocolates, you often never know what's inside, right? It looks the same on the outside, but actually when you bite into it, one is caramel, one is mint, one is hazelnut. They have all different flavors and sizes and varieties. So tonight we have assembled a beautiful chocolate box of souls who all have different experiences that they will be sharing with us in a very real, very practical storytelling way. And this is really a valuable session. We'll have some time for question and answer at the end for all of you as well. So you can think as you're listening to them share their experiences and having this chance to be able to hear from our beautiful chocolates tonight. So with that, I'm going to, if you can all finish up your one line, and maybe Dipti Ben can collect them. When you're done, you can give them to Dipti Ben. Beautiful. So I would now love to invite our beautiful panel of chocolates, if we can have Suman Ben, Divendri, Bea, and Piyush come take the stage. The youth welcome you. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy days to be here with us. Beautiful. So tonight, Sapna and I will be our moderators, and we'll make sure we finish on time because we want to make sure we're seated in the seat in Harmony Hall for Dadi. So, Om Shanti. Thank you all again for being here. Our first question, just to get a grounding of where everybody is. Maybe not everybody has met all of you souls yet. If you could share your name, country, and profession or service field, and in very brief essence, how you came to Baba. So we'll pass the mic around.
My name is Bea, or Beatrice, or is it still B? And I am in Rome for more than 5 years, I think, now, in Italy, Rome. And I am in the center. And I'm from Sardinia, which is an island of Italy. And I was raised there with my mom. She's also a BK. She gave me the course when I was 13. And, but I decided to take the course and she was the teacher, so. And that's how I came. And yeah, and I moved when I finished my first graduation, it's called diploma. And now in 1 year I will be a naturopath. And I'm working also as a babysitter with two families. Yeah, so I am in the center, I study and I work.
Hello. My name is Divendri, I'm from South Africa. I don't know the order, I'm just going to, yeah. I'm in a city called Durban in South Africa. So I came to Baba when I was 15, and I moved into the center, I think, when I was 22. Now I'm 42, so, and I moved into the center when I was in my final year of university. So, for the past 18 or 19 years, I've been working as an occupational therapist. Occupational therapy is helping people who have disabilities. So currently, I'm living in a center, a very small center, on my own, and I also work as an occupational therapist in private practice in the field of mental health and vocational rehabilitation. Thank you.
Om Shanti, and my name is Suman Ben, and I live in Gansarovar for the past 25 years, and 4 years in the Pandav Bhavan before that. And I came in contact with the yajna when I was 5 years old, because my parents came into Gyan. And gradually, I think, I don't know exact time and date when Gyan, I came in Gyan. So it was gradual growing in the atmosphere of Baba's yajna. Yeah, that's it.
Om Shanti. So my name is Piyush and I'm not staying in any center like the other three. But I'm an entrepreneur and I'm staying in UAE, in Dubai. And I'm connected with the center in different activities. I came into the knowledge at the age of 4, but I think the real realization happened at the age of 20. And that's when I knew this is the path which I have to choose.
The nice variety of chocolates over here. So we can see that all of you have come in Gyan from a young age and have been adopting the Brahmin lifestyle. So how has your relationship with the Brahmin lifestyle evolved over the years? That's the question. How has your relationship with the Brahmin lifestyle evolved in the past years?
So when I took Gyan, I was 13. Well, let's say I was 13, but I was having a life of a 20-year-old girl, because my childhood was a bit... Anyway, that was the reality. And so I had to choose to drop things that were not according to Srimad. And I think when I did it, I had a lot of conflict because I wanted to do that and I also wanted to do this. And I was like, what do I choose? And I remember clearly that I was coming home, which was like a sub-center, and I was outside having fun and enjoying myself. And then I would come home and I would just cry because there was some part of me that was not happy with the life I was doing. And so I said, okay, I'll try to do this lifestyle. And I did half an hour meditation for a month, and it really helped me a lot. Still, God was far, very far. So I think the first years of my Brahmin life, I was very forceful to myself. Oh, I have to do this now because I've chosen it and it's the right thing for me to do. It wasn't much out of love. And then growing into the BK life, I've chosen. Regularly I chose to have this life. It's not, I said, oh, I will be forever like this. No, it's all the time. But I end up choosing it again and again and again. And sometimes I feel that I belong so much to God that even if I don't want to follow it, I still do. So, you know, this is the experience. But it was very important for me to feel the freedom to choose and to be accepted for whatever choice I would have made by the family or by the people around me. But I would say the worst thing is to choose when I am confused, because there was moments where I was choosing to have a different lifestyle, and then I realized that I was choosing that only because I was in trouble. And so my promise was, whatever choice I will make, I will have to be aware of what is happening and why I'm making that choice, and not out of necessity for the moment, you know.
I was introduced to Gyan by a friend, so the rest of my family are not BK. So I was the only one from my home going to class, and so I wasn't too regular initially. I was 15 and quite carefree, but I used to go often, I would say. And I think I understood a lot about the Murali and the lifestyle, but I didn't really feel initially too too much of an urgency to make it part of my lifestyle. I suppose also because in my family it was really not anything that was happening. And most importantly, at the same time that I was introduced to Gyan, I was already in it. Just around the same time, I got myself into a relationship with someone who was much older. And so he wanted to have a more sort of mature type of relationship that required a bit of a commitment. And so for the first 6 years, I always had to sort of make a choice. And it used to always be a dilemma. And it was like sort of going backwards and forth. And then when I turned 21, this was 6 years later, I don't know what happened. It really wasn't my effort. I think it must have been Baba who, just like how you said, maybe Baba got fed up of me always being in a dilemma and going backwards and forwards. And so I just had a very deep experience. Actually, it was a birthday card that my university class gave me. And it had a picture of a very lovely young lady sitting on a park bench in a white dress. And on the bench next to her was all these flowers, and it was a very peaceful, very serene picture. And I started to cry when I saw that picture, and they were quite shocked, thinking, you know, like they gave me the card to say happy birthday and to make me happy, and why was I crying? But I don't think they understood internally or why I was crying, and I told them, I want to be like this lady. And they said, but you are like her. That's the reason why we chose the card. And I said, no, I'm not like her. And so anyway, something obviously started happening internally when from that moment onwards. So very soon after, something just shifted inside. It's like I did not want my old life anymore. And it was quite painful because I had to then share this information in the 6 year relationship and end things, which was unfair of me, I must say, because I dragged it along for a long, long time. But I reached a point in which I had absolutely no option because there was total distaste in me for what the other life had to offer. And so I did. And shortly thereafter I came to Madhuban, and from then onwards, you know, I've been sort of just leading the same type of lifestyle, doing the same thing all the time and not just going backwards and forwards. But the one thing I can say is that in that initial period when I made that change and I came to Madhuban for the first time, for that year, I really needed for myself to understand the principles and Brahman practices. And I'm not the type of person who will do something because I'm told you should do this, or this is good for you, or it's the right thing. And I used to have like very deep insights, especially after Amrit Vela, where I felt like Baba was almost coaching me and explaining the depth and the subtlety of every single practice. And it made a lot of sense on the level of energy and exchange of energy, and that settled me a lot. So when I started to really integrate it into my life, I felt like it was something that I really wanted to do because of a depth of my own understanding and not just because it was a prescription. And so it's kind of continuing that way up until now. So there's no real evolution. It was like a height, and I'm trying to maintain it from there.
When I came in the contact of Brahma Kumaris, I was 5 years old. So my parents, when they came into knowledge, and they automatically started to follow all the disciplines and food and everything, from everything, whatever Baba, whatever Srimat it was. So it was natural for me to follow that, but then in the childhood, but then later on as I grew, and it was obviously there are like some attractions and, you know, pulls. And so even though those attractions and pulls were very temporary, you know, and whenever that those things happened, and then I was to reflect back and see, is it what I want to do, or is it this that you want in life. So from inside, you know, like from internally, I used to get pulled towards Baba and Baba's Srimat and Baba's principles. Once when I came to Madhuban when I was young, it was always Madhuban Nivasis who attracted me the most. Whenever I used to look at Madhuban Nivasis, I always had that inner voice telling me that I want to become like them one day. So they were the inspirations for me. And I think Madhuban place, you know, Bhumi itself was a greater pull for me since childhood. So whenever I used to feel low there, I used to come to Madhuban, recharge myself, stay here for 1 month, 15 days. So that was my, you know, recharger. Whenever the battery of the soul used to get discharged, whenever I used to feel low, because being in India, it's easier to come to Madhuban often. So I used to spend my holidays always in Madhuban. So that was a boost for me. That was a help, great help for me in my journey. Because my parents, I used to think for myself, is it because of the pressure of my parents I want to become a Brahmin? So no, it wasn't that. I myself wanted to lead this life. So it was my own decision, and I analyzed myself, reflected within, in different ways, whether really I want to go into this. So always the answer was yes. So there was not a single time when I wanted to lead another life, right? I want to go leave this Brahmin life and go into Laukik world, even though there were little bit of distractions and attractions. But then I came back on the track very soon. It didn't take much efforts. It didn't take much time. But then, you know, I think it was Baba's help and the help of the Brahmin family, because I took a lot of support from Brahmin family, from Madhuban especially, from the Dadis. So I think that was a greater help for me to take my decisions in my life. Yeah.
For me, it has been a very tipsy-topsy journey till date, because I've gone through different phases. At the age of 4, when I came in the knowledge, my mom got the knowledge first, and the whole family followed. And what I hear from my mom is that I was, whenever she used to offer bhog to Baba, I used to sit for maybe half an hour or 1 hour. So I had that amazing connection with him. And when I came at the age of, I think, 5 or maybe 6, around that age, to Madhuban first time, it was December. And I remember Mohini Ben, who used to be with Dadi Prakash Maniji, she told mom that you can go around everywhere, leave him with me. And I used to be with her for like 3 to 4 days, be with her. Like morning, mom would drop me like a babysitter, and evening she would come and pick me. And all I used to be doing is just roam around with her. She would take me around in her car and give me sweets. You know, it was a beautiful time. And yes, of course, I met Dadi Prakash Maniji that time many times, but of course, I don't have those memories. And then 96, I remember when I came again, That time again, what happened was December. So I loved December, the cold. So I said to mom that if we are going, we'll again go in December. And it was in December that what happened on 25th December, I remember this memory that the Santa Claus was supposed to be there on the stage, but he was unwell. So they needed an urgently Santa Claus. And Mohini Ben said, we have a Santa. And all I know, in next 5 minutes, I was dressed up like a Santa and made them sit on the stage in Om Shanti Bhavan. And I'm sitting there, you know, so I was a very, very quiet person. So I was sitting there with in the lotus position, and I sat there for 2.5 hours, completely, you know, like a statue. And so I remember, that's what I've been told, is that Baba came, so till Baba comes, Surya Bhai speaks or someone else was speaking, and I'm still there sitting, then red light, and then Baba came, he gave drishti, and then normally, you know, like the Santa comes and does ho 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 initially. So Baba is like, where is the Santa? So they said he's coming, he's still not ready. So then they told me there's a Santa sitting behind. And Baba said, really? And Baba, that's what mom told me, that Baba told that I thought he's a statue, a teddy bear, you know. So like I was sitting so still, and then I got drishti and I got a flower and some blessing which I don't remember. And so that was the last time, I would say, in the first phase of my life, I came to Madhavan. And then I went to a 10-year exile because, as you know, Devendri was saying, I didn't want it to follow it like a prescription, you know, the principles, the... so, of course, we have a Gita Pathshala at home. Everything was there. But I was never really connected with the knowledge because I just felt that I'm being pushed into it. And I was growing up, so there was different phases. But then in 2007... I was coming again to Mount Abu. I decided I'll come. I got pushed from my center sisters and everyone. I said, "Theek hai, I'll come again." And what I decided to do was, it's a new phase, a new journey. So I shaved off my head as if I'm going on a Teerth Yatra, you know. I said, if I want to start, let me try to start fresh. And the first day I meet Sheelu Ben. And she tells me that, why did you shave off your head? Did your father expire? I'm like... he expired many years ago. So she's like, when? I just came to Dubai 2 years ago. I said, no, I'm talking about the great father. So she's like, what? And I was like, well, that's what they say, he's your father, Shiv Baba. So I'm just repeating the lines. So they all burst out laughing. And so my mom was like, he's coming after such a long time and all. And that's when I got my first ring and everything. And so I was on my own, and that's when I decided that let me explore this institution, organization, or as we got the word, yagya, really, you know. So I decided to explore on my own, and I booked a tour guide. I told in Gyan Sarovar that I need a tour guide to take me around Gyan Sarovar, Pandav Bhavan, Guru Shikhar, Dilwara, everywhere in the next 3 days. I need a full course of this whole institution. Because, of course, when I came as a child, I wouldn't remember anything. And even the Shanti one. So the first 3 days, all I did was on my own, go everywhere and meet every department with the tour guide. And so I was there for 7 days. And then I registered for this Kumar's retreat. That went on, everything perfect. But at the end of my trip, I made some beautiful friends. I made some great connections. And because of this tour guide, I connected with all the Gyan Sarovar brothers. I connected with the Pandav Bhavan family. And I knew that there are friends other than my Laukik friends whom I can look up to. And I said, okay, it's not bad. This is a good journey. And this is, so as a child, I never liked all this devotion and the noise. You know, I've never liked the noises of these bells and all in the mandir. So I said, this is a better place, a silence place at least, so this suits me. So when I went back, I tried everything, but it was still, I was not really into it fully, because 2008, when my college started, I had made in Dubai 8 of the best friends of my college life for the next 3 years. And we were like, you could say, the outstanding students, you know, always out of the class. So we used to just bunk and go for, you know, so it was the best time of my life, I could say, that's 3 years. But I was still following the principles to larger extent what I could, and I was connected, I was coming to Madhuman, but it was the IYF in 2009 when I came the first time, and 2009 was the first time I came for IYF, And that's when I made some friends, which are still date connected with me. And then 2011, again the second time when I came, and I made more better bonds. And that's when I decided 2011 that this is it. I'm not going back to that old life. I let go of my friends with whom I was so connected for those 3 years of my college life. So from 2012, they saw a big shift in me. I started to drift apart from them, but I started to drift here. And and I'm on this journey. I'm enjoying it. I have some great friends on this path as well. I have some amazing brothers in Dubai who we look up to. I have a good connection with the center sisters. So the path is not that bad. I'm enjoying it, and I just hope I keep drifting only on this side.
How many stars?
Sorry?
5 star, 4 star, 3 star, 2 star.
For the.
For his. No, for the PK life. It's not that bad.
See, sometimes it's 4 and sometimes it's 2.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a seesaw, you know. Some 5 not yet. Maybe I have to change my vision. But yeah, some things I don't like, some things I love. But that's not. Yeah. In Dubai we say Inshallah, no? So I would say, if God wills.
Thank you all for your. So we've been exploring this morning as well. You can see the different stations we had about the lifestyle, and we were talking about choice and about how the spiritual power of these different aspects only comes when it comes with choice and not because of the prescription, as you were sharing. So thank you for sharing those stories. So the next question is about if there have been times when these principles have been followed by force rather than love, even after you've made your official choice, and how that journey kind of comes. Maybe there's some enthusiasm when you make your initial commitment, but then over the many years, maybe other little thoughts start popping up and you do things again because of routine or habit. So how do you keep that initial commitment alive and still making sure that everything is done by choice?
So as I said, when I started, I was very forceful to myself. And so I remember I was 13, and in 3 months I just started to follow everything. And because in my mind I was like, age doesn't describe me, you know. I don't have to have limitations because I'm so young. But reality was that I didn't have the knowledge, my mom didn't have the knowledge of how to handle everything. So it was just a mess, basically. And I remember I would wake up every day for Amrit Vela, and I would sleep all through Amrit Vela on the chair every day. And then summer would come, and then I would have Amrit Vela when I was awake, because I had enough sleep. Because my mom was full on in service, and I would accompany her every day, everywhere. So it was exhausting, you know. We didn't have the knowledge of how to balance. You need to have at least enough rest and eat properly, you know, all the knowledge I acquired with the experience. So I remember I asked everyone about Amrit Vela, you know, Denise, Jenti, Manda, you know, all these teachers. And Denise said, yes, you are young, so you need more sleep than, you know, a grown-up. So that's what she said. And somehow, I didn't want to let go of Amrit Vela, because I don't know if this is determination or stubbornness. But and then I remember 1 year I was in total burnout. It was already, I don't know, maybe 5 years I was following, but it was a total burnout because I wasn't getting sustenance by my yoga. I was feeling so low, zero self-esteem, everything was service, and it was really bad. The only good thing was the family. And I remember one senior sister was there, and she told off the whole family because they were not taking care of me because I was the child. And then she told me, I forbid you to wake up from Amrit Vela. I was like, all right. And it was so strong for me, because I'm like, no, you know, when you think that's perfection and you don't reach it and you feel a failure. And so I said, okay, I won't give up. But I did anyway. But the feeling was, because she said, you know, don't do it, I felt so free that I had so much energy and I was so awake the next day. That's the reverse psychology. And you know, till date, I struggle a bit, especially when I am in Rome, that I work and I study and I am in the center. And in the center, we are very comprehensive of each other and we give space to each other. So I definitely know that if I miss it for more than 2 days, I feel a lot of difference in my daily life. So I really try to keep up with it. But I'm not forcing myself anymore. You know, I do value it. I know I can take a lot of power, but I don't want to, you know, be forceful. Murli class, I think I've never missed a Murli since I started to read the Murli, which was soon after I took the course. And this is part because of I'm stubborn and also disciplined, and also the idea that I cannot miss a Murli. But even if I, you know, traveling or having different periods, I wouldn't read it in the morning. I would still find a moment during the day. But I do remember that I used to sleep even in Murli class. Like, it was really a disaster. And when I think, you know, Baba says, don't miss the Murli because I give you so many good points. And I'm like, what's the point of being in class if I don't listen to the Murli because I'm sleeping? You know, so that is also, you know, the main thing of the Murli is to understand what Baba is telling me. So again, I'm not forceful, but I want to take the maximum from it. Then diet, at 17, I turned vegan, and so I started to have all this research on health and the relationship with, because my point was, that's how it started. If I am a yogi, why am I attracted to so much to certain type of food? You know, why if I have a food that I really like, I will have a third and a fourth dish of the same? And I didn't want that. So I started to research, and what came up is that some food do give addiction. And so I started to have more raw food and experiment with that. And so, yeah, in terms of what? In terms of eating out, it happens to me. It's very, very rare. And I never used to do it, and then I tried, and I felt the difference. You know, I felt that there is a lot of impact in the food that is prepared. And so I just don't like eating out. It's, you know, it happens, but it's not something that attracts me. You know, it's like, please no. Also, I know what's in the restaurants and pizzerias and, you know, in Italy. Celibacy, I've had ups and downs with that, and I've reached a point where, you know, before in my mind was, I cannot even think of leaving God or the family, or, you know, to think of following something different, you know, that was like, you know, just to think was a sin, so I wasn't allowed to do that. I don't know who taught me these things, by the way. I think it just, it just comes, I don't know. But anyway, I managed to free myself from that and to explore and have it questioned over and over again to know if that's what I really want. And there have been moments growing up physically where I had very, very strong attractions. Like, immensely. That, you know, when Baba says we have thoughts and we don't even know from where they are coming, you know, I was like, I've never had this thought. You know, what's happening? And I'm just growing up, basically. And so to understand that there are also physical practices that we can do to harmonize our energy and our hormones, this is very important to me. And to be open, it really helps, because I'm not suppressing it so that at some point it will explode, but I'm embracing it, and I'm like, okay, if I choose to follow celibacy and I have an attraction, then I will use these methods to transmute this energy. And I do believe it's not talked enough in the BK environment, but there are materials, there are lectures, and there are BK advice on this topic. Oh, I said Murli already? Yeah? Everything? Chart. Oh, I remember I used to do it every day, you know, like in this stubborn thing again. And it was a really depressing moment, because it was the period where I used to do so much service that my yoga was out. And so when I would reach in the evening and do my chart, it would be all no, no, no. No, 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 like, did you do this? And it was so sad, because I'm like, what am I doing, you know? So I said, okay, I should change the method of doing the chart. And so what I do now, which is very important to me, is to journal and to make sure, if possible every day, just to ask myself, how I am, where I'm at, how am I doing, how is my heart doing, how am I feeling, how is my relationship with God going, you know, just to check. And I think, as I said, the meaning of the chart is to be aware during the day. So this is what I've been trying to do in Madhuban, to understand, how do I put the experiences that I have when I'm sitting down into my walking experiences? And so I think this is the aim of the chart, you know, to put these things together. Churning is something that has been highly suggested and that I've been a bit resistant to. So I like to churn in a way that will bring me to an experience. So to take a point and to have the experience of the point. Or I like to have really nice deep conversations with friends, BK friends, that I am in the same frequency of. So that becomes a really deep churning.
I think if you want to give essenceful answer to the rest of so the question again was about if there have been times when we've followed by force rather than love, even after making the choice. And then I think we'll maybe have either one question and then open it up to the audience for a question, and we'll end at 6:10.
I think I trust myself a lot. I don't know if I'm saying it in the right way, but once I made that decision and I really felt like I understood and that it was my choice, I trusted myself enough to, in a sense I did, I guess, maybe not follow certain things, because I would keep the company of certain people and go to certain places and things like that, but I knew already that I wouldn't be influenced. So, and I can't remember a time that I have been influenced. So I think it's, for me it's not a matter of that, you know, if there's some sort of fluctuation that there'll be a change or not. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, but it's almost like if there's like a shift, then there's a shift and that's it. You know, that type of thing. One thing that I want to mention though is that when things happen, I have a very challenging job, Lokic job, and then having lived in the center for a long time, have experienced a lot of traumatic experiences and challenges, you know, living in the center also. And one thing that does happen is that my relationship with Baba sort of shakes, because I still have that feeling like, you know, Baba should be doing more to protect me and to be saving me from all of this. And it's a childish thing because obviously karma and drama have to happen. And in those times, I don't think the quality of the Amrit Vela and Murli is 100%. But there's such a deep feeling inside that it's my protection, that I'll still do it, but maybe not with the same sort of enthusiasm.
I think in everyone's life there's ups and downs. So whenever there is, you know, low phase, sometimes I think we need to force ourselves also to bring back ourselves into that track of discipline. But more importantly, what works for me is increase love for Baba. Because when we because Baba is ocean of love and he is showering that love, one way is always there, but something is lacking in me because of which I think I'm not absorbing that Baba's energy, Baba's love, whatever he wants to give me. So one of the things that I really work on is what is it that Baba has done for me? What is, after when Baba came into my life, what are the changes that have happened in my life, or you know, how important Baba is in my life? So I think, reflect, and you know, spend some time with myself, and then I think one of the things, and secondly, I try to increase my self-respect for man. Baba every day in the Murli gives many points of swaman, many points of self-respect. I think we don't practice those things enough. So I try to practice that. And thirdly, I remember, I think 2 or 3 years ago, Mohiniben was offering bhog in Harmony Hall. And I so much remember the message that Baba gave that day, because I was going through a low phase. My mood was not so good. And I was plus I was translating. So, you know, it really stayed with me forever. What Baba said was, why children find it difficult to follow Baba Srimad or to be with Baba is because they forget their childhood days. What is it that they have experienced from Baba? What is it that they have attained from Baba? So whenever you are feeling low, so remember those days, those incidents when Baba helped you, or when you had a special experience, when you had a special thing. So, and then, you know, whenever we bring back those moments, bring back those experiences, I think then the energy of the soul just gets uplifted. So I think we have to work out for ourselves what works for us, you know. So there could be different reasons why we try to drift away, or for why we don't want, we are not able to follow these Srimad. But then when we work on ourselves in different ways, I think we can. This is what I do. These are the 3 things that I do for myself.
Just to be essential, I mean, I had never taken the 7 days course, I mean, 1-to-1, because I was as a child pushed into this, as I said. But of all the principles, you know, one of the biggest challenging principle for me was the Amrit Vela. So there was a point of time that if I wake up 9 a.m., that is my Amrit Vela time. If I get up at 8 a.m., I will say that is my Amrit Vela time. So this is how I taught myself, that this is your Amrit Vela time whenever you wake up. And the only thing which I in my life which I hated was being lazy. And I was that. So I was always trying to find some way, you know, to get up. So about 3 to 4 years ago, my center sister, she said, okay, why don't you try 3 days a week? So we started with Sadguruvar, and the Friday is the weekend there in Dubai, and Saturday. And so Thursday, Friday was okay, still Saturday was not possible. Then I tried to add something more into a motivational thing to wake up in the morning. So what we decided was a few of us will play cricket on after Amrit Vela and Mudli. So Saturday, so in Dubai we have Amrit Vela and Mudli same time. It goes with the flow from 4 a.m. to 5:30. So we said okay. So Saturday morning I had another reason to wake up. So I love sports. So I said okay. So now I have reason to wake up. So Saturday morning I used to go somehow, and 5:30 after the Mudli play cricket and all. And the next year we started cycling. Yeah, center even till date. And then we started cycling and different sports. So I got that 3 days became pakka for me. But I think I decided 2 years ago that I really need to push Amrit Vela. But I don't really want to do it just by someone telling me. I want to do it from my side. So the one thing which I changed, which I would like to tell you, because she was saying the love for the Baba. For brothers, it's not easy to love Baba. I mean, for me, if you ask me to love Baba, I say, it's a little tough. So what I did is I made him my elder brother come friend. And I used to, instead of doing a charting or anything, I started doing journaling. But I did journaling at Amrit Vela of the previous day, so that I start fresh in the morning. And so the first 10 minutes I would do journaling, and I would just write anything I want. And that would keep me really lighter. Because 2 years ago, when I was in this business, I got quite hectic, it got, and it really drained me out. And so this journaling really helped me. And I was reading also Steve Jobs, and he said, you know, the people who get up at 5 a.m. and all that, many motivational speakers. So I said, I really need to do a 5 a.m. thing. So I started my Amrit Vela at 4:30 2 years ago. Now it's come down to properly at 4 a.m. I'm still not 100%, but at least I do it with will, and it's, yeah, you could say 80%. But now I enjoy my Amrit Vela, and the best thing is the journaling for me works in the morning Amrit Vela. It's either after or before I do it. And so that was the only biggest challenge for me in this principles wise. The rest all is on the progress. No, I mean, I said from my point of view, not from all brothers' point of view.
Love is not just a lover and a beloved. It's love of a father, love of a mother, love of a friend.
I even made him a girlfriend, but nothing. Now currently it works as an elder brother.
Okay.
If you have any mistake or any problem, just go and tell him out. You know, an elder brother will always cover yours.
Oh.
You know, just last week in our retreat, when we were doing the Young Yogya Instruments retreat, we had a conversation with Gopi Ben at the end, all the Kumars. And, you know, one of the challenges, as Bia was mentioning, is for the Kumars, really, and this is a topic I think we could just touch upon, is that the energy is different for Kumars. And you know, what she was saying is for sisters, if they have some different thoughts, they have different departments in their head. So the energy flows out. But brothers, when they think it's only one department, info go here, goes out. That's it. But for sisters, the info goes out from 5 to 6. And sisters are good in conversing, so they can go on talking to each other and that energy will go out. But for brothers, it doesn't. So she said that you should incorporate exercise or workout or some kind of sports. And that is really true. I mean, to be honest, there was a time when, even for me, there were many thoughts which were not at all related to celibacy. It was completely off track of celibacy. And there were also connections in my past. So, but since I've taken up, you know, at least twice a week or thrice a week, some kind of sports or some kind of activity to keep myself busy, the energy goes in the right direction, you know. Like even today when he was doing the yoga bhavesh, you just saw, you feel much more light, and we enjoy, the brothers really enjoy doing the sports. So just an advice to brothers, I mean, take up some kind of activity or exercise or sports to really use your energy in the right direction. Otherwise it can be a little challenging. And yeah, so that is also connected to the love thing, you know. So I'm just trying to make a segue of all the things what I'm trying to say. See, don't go, because we have only one department. Understood, yeah? So that's why I was only looking that side.
I totally agree with you about physical exercise and sports, because I was a national level player. I totally agree, because when I stopped playing, the energy is different. When I was playing, I was topper of the college. But all of a sudden, in the 12th, I was taught, because my dad didn't allow me to play. I was a basketball player. So every day I used to spend 2 hours of practice every day until 11th. But then on 12th, I was totally stopped. So my marks went down, you know, like, when I agree, totally agree with you. But then we have to, I think, work on our internal thing also. But when we experience Baba's love in different ways, you know, that makes us more easier. That's what I mean to say. It makes us easier. You know, we are not pushing. We are not making, it's not a labor. It becomes easier. Mohabbat mein easy hai, mehnat mein mushkil hai. No? Like, it's like that. So in love, everything is easy. So that's what I mean to say.
So it looks like this is going to lead to an honest conversation between brothers. Okay, so we have some time to open up the floor if anyone has any burning questions for all of these.
I think this is a message that is not given to this generation. I don't know why. But in the early days, sports or physical activity was very important. And enough rest was also important. You know, Baba says 4 hours, 5 hours, but he means during the night. But they have a nap during the day, and it's a long nap. So this is real. And what I feel is that when I deprive myself from sleep, I look for stimulants. You know? So that can be food, that can be drinks, that can be sex. It's a stimulus. So it's very, very important to have enough rest, to have a training of the body, you know, where I become a master of the senses. And I had this experience this year that, as Suman Burton was saying, to increase the love for Baba, that I have been experiencing such a close relationship, really, really close and loving. And I thought, if anything is going to break this relationship, I don't want it. You know, so that there is also the implement of the knowledge as well, you know, because to have a relationship will pull my energy away from myself and from God. To have physical activities, sexual activities, will pull myself down, and I won't be able to taste the subtle energy anymore. So it is a real thing. And so that was, I really felt, if I'm going to lose this connection, no.
One of the things that we need to realize and believe deeply is, I think, no matter what, Baba loves us because we are His children, right? So when I accept that, no matter what we do, again we go to Baba and say sorry, and you know, we take that energy and reform. So we are making efforts. We want to become perfect. We are on the way. So okay, it's okay. We are making mistakes, but then, you know, then go to Baba. Be honest, Baba. I belong to you. You belong to me. So no matter what, deeply believe that Baba loves you. So everything will be sorted out.
I think to have connection in love with God at Amrit Vela, you already have to have it any other time. So for me, I had a lot of resistance with God because of my background. Don't know which one, but and so there was a moment where I really felt a change, a shift, where I was, before I was distant, like he, she, this being was there and I was here. And then I somehow something happened in my intellect and I removed some filters and then I was there. And now we are together in the same space. So to me, I need to allow myself to believe what Baba says in the Murli. To believe that he loved me, to believe that he was waiting to meet me for so long, and finally I reached, and he is so happy to have me, and that he is my dear beloved, and I am his, her, dear beloved. And so when there is this open heart, of my heart needs to be open, then I can see this pure, beautiful energy of love and just connect, remember him, remembering the energy I connect. But first I need to have this experience, and it took me years to remove the filters. So.
This is the lines which we brothers can't think, which you were just saying, you know, that setup.
But I don't know if it is.
I used to be very much like really like a girl. I don't know how else to describe it, but and you know, this former relationship that I was referring to was a very loving, close relationship in which I used to really be hampered. So my initial experience of the concept of love was like, you know how it's in the Bollywood movies, where you hide behind a tree and then when you come out, you're wearing another outfit and then you go behind a rock and you come out and there's another outfit. And I grew to learn in my relationship with Baba, which is more not lover and beloved. I think it's more like husband and wife, which is a very quiet... Yeah, it's a very quiet type of... a sense of belonging and protection. It was painful actually to learn the difference. But it took me a while. There were 2 years in which, during Amrit Vela, I used to say to Baba, okay, now we have to go for marriage counseling, because I couldn't understand what was going on, you know, because I wasn't getting those feelings. And it took me a while to actually understand that those are emotions, but it's not feelings. And there's a huge difference between emotions and feelings. And I could see to the extent I was influenced by my own past life experiences, practical, as well as media. And I had to unlearn all of that and really start to learn about who this being is, who I chose, you know. I chose someone without a body, you know, and I chose someone invisible and silent. So I couldn't really expect, can't really expect, you know, Bollywood. And then I realized that I had to become, you know, invisible and silent, and then to start to experience a very different type of connection. And so I think it's a journey for everyone to go through, and at some point some of you might have already had that experience, and some of you along the way will come to realize that it's not that you're being abandoned, or it's not that you're being ignored or neglected if you're not feeling something. Because when we use the word feeling, we're really connecting it to emotions, and emotions and feelings are very different. But at Amrit Vela, in terms of my experience of Baba's love, One thing that I am fond of doing is really just asking Baba what he sees in me, you know, Baba's vision of me. Because in that vision you grow to understand, you know, your own beauty and your own power and your own greatness and how much Baba values and appreciates and respects you for those qualities. And so then it's, I don't know if that's love, but I think that it's a deeper, more pure experience of love than what is the conventional concept. Yeah.
Was that valuable? Yes, that helped clarify things. So we know that this is, one conversation is coming to an end, but another will continue. So tomorrow we have another session called Honest Conversations, in which the brothers and sisters both have their own sessions together, in which we can also continue this spirit of practicality and honesty. So for those, we have two question boxes. We have the red one for the sisters and the blue one for the brothers. So these boxes will be over there in God's lap. You can write whatever questions you have anonymously. It's an anonymous question box. So you write your question on a slip of paper, put it in your box, and tomorrow, so put them in between now, this evening, and tomorrow by 2 o'clock. And then in that evening session tomorrow, we'll have that as our discussion and launching point. So just remember to put in your questions between then and now. We also, because it is a chocolate box, we do have chocolate for you. So you'll each receive some chocolate as you exit the door. We're going to keep this, we're going to move as a group into Harmony Hall. And as a reminder, for tonight, our musical evening is going to start at 8:30 here in this room. And please be on time so that we can finish on time so you can all get your beauty sleep and have a powerful Amrit Vela tomorrow. So let's just take a moment of silence first and thank all of these souls here once again for sharing from the heart and continuing this authenticity. So thank you all.